Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for GigPod is brought to you by Swiss Movement. Quality watches at affordable prices. Check out their website at www.swissmovement.co and get 10% off all watches with the code GigPod88.
Hello and thanks for downloading episode 60 of the Glasgow is Green podcast, aka GigPod. I'm Stevie and I'll be discussing the 3-2 win over Hearts, which saw us progress to the next round of the Premier Sports Cup. Now, Spunk phones in a gutter in Newcastle and Reeds was taking time off to prepare for his big role on Wednesday night, which is hosting the reaction pod to the AZ game, as I'm likely to be going. So I have drafted in a Hearts fan, a well-known Hearts fan, to give his perspective of yesterday's game. It's Robert F. Bothwick. Robert, welcome to GigPod.
Thank you very much, Stevie. I feel it's been too long since us two fellow podcasters just started recording some stuff, so delighted to be here, mate.
You were last on when Hearts routinely get bodied off Brendan Rodgers' side back in the Invincible season, weren't you? That was when you were last on talking about Hearts and Celtic games on the first incarnation of GigPod.
I believe so. I've come on and spoken about so many bodyings of Hearts on this podcast before, so they all kind of roll into one.
Indeed, and one of the best things about when we chucked GigPod the first time, when GigPod was away, if you will, was the fact that we conveniently did it, Robert, a month or two just before Hearts ended Celtic's big unbeaten run by winning 4-0 at Tynecastle. So that worked out well for everyone, I'm sure.
It did, aye. We can just talk about that game if you want. it's up to you.
No, I'd rather not talk about that, actually. I would like to talk about Craig Gordon shipping goals, though, which he did in that game, and we'll get on to that later. But first off, Robert, yesterday's game, Celtic won 3-2, and the lineups. Where did you think Hearts went wrong, or where did Celtic go right? Celtic lined up 4-3-3, Hearts lined up in a 5-3-2 formation. Did you think that was the right call for Nielsen?
Yeah, I did, actually. I did, because that's how we finished the game at Tynecastle when we beat you a couple of weeks ago. And Celtic were overrunning us in the midfield. They had too many bodies, and we changed it up, brought on Peter Haring, and then the last 10 minutes of that game, we kind of dominated it and probably deserved the second goal on the run of play at that time. So I didn't see a huge issue with it. I think the issue for me was the lack of width, the lack of pace, and not having big arm man Nondwe, the big 6'5" striker that we have available, because he makes a difference. He can hold it up. We didn't have that. We had Gary Mackay-Steven, who's built like the side of a fiver, and Liam Boyce. So yeah, it was always going to be a tall ask. But when I saw the lineup, I understood the thinking. I saw where he was coming from. So I wasn't too annoyed or distressed by it until about 5 minutes into the game, and I was like, right, I can see exactly what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic really were relentless. They started with such an enthusiastic energy that you haven't seen for a Celtic side since arguably Brendan Rodgers in his first season. But the wave after wave of just relentless attacking. As I said, it was a joy to watch. As a Hearts fan, Robert, you must have been thinking you were in for an absolute doing after the first 15 minutes or so when you just saw Hearts could not get anywhere out their own half. Celtic pressed them, they pinned them in. And I know you, Robert, as a Hearts fan, you have seen better Hearts sides taking a doing at Celtic Park and putting worse displays. But what were you thinking after the first opening quarter where Celtic were just very, very impressive, even before they made it 1-0?
I was kind of thinking that I've seen this film before, to be honest. That's going to Celtic Park and they sit like 5, 10, 15 yards too deep. You know, they give far too much respect to guys that can play football. David Turnbull, Tom Rogic, Cal McGregor even was pulling the strings in there as well. And it was just like, Andy Halliday was a man down. Benny Beningame was absolutely outstanding at Tynecastle against Celtic. First 45 minutes, he was completely off it. And they were allowing far too much time and space. I can see what they were trying to do. They were trying to make the middle of the park busy so Celtic couldn't play through the middle, but they were allowing too much space to the likes of James Forrest, Greg Taylor, these guys to make a difference. And it was just, I don't know if it was a guaranteed doing at that stage, but certainly as the half went on and even up to the half-time whistle, I was thinking, this could be easily 3 or 4-0, maybe 5. I've seen all those score lines before. So at half time I was more worried, but the opening exchanges were just, I was doing co-commentary on the game, as you know, Stevie, and I don't think I mentioned a Hearts player's name for about 25 minutes because it was just Celtic on the ball.
You actually do co-commentary for Hearts TV officially, Robert?
Yes, that's right. So I do, mainly for away games, I do the co-commentary. So I was actually in the shadow of Ibrox in a recording studio. I've done the co-commentary for a few months now, and that is easily the worst experience that I've had doing co-commentary, because it was relentless, man. It was brutal.
You commentate on Hearts away games, and Hearts were indeed away yesterday when Odson Edouard opened the scoring. Now, we talked about this goal, Robert. We've had very different views on who was to blame. I know that Kyogo's ball was an absolute stunner to James Forrest, whose assist was met by Odson Edouard, who made it 1-0. I personally felt that Craig Halkett was so, so slow in getting back and allowing Edouard to get in, and I thought Craig Gordon's angles were all over the shop. But you wanted to also say that you felt John Souter was also culpable for that goal.
From a Celtic perspective, really good goal. You know, absolutely quick as a whip. Counter-attack almost from the final third. In behind to Kyogo. Wonderful, wonderful pass from Kyogo, and Forrest's composure to just take a touch and look up. It was really good. Nice fast-flowing goal from a Hearts perspective. John Souter is doing actually bizarrely what I was asking for them to do, which is step 5-10 yards further up the pitch. But he was the only one that did it. So when he stepped up, it meant there was acres of space in behind him for Kyogo, and obviously that's where the ball went. And from there, I mean, you're asking a lot of Craig Halkett, because the first thing that he tries to do is stop the pass from Kyogo, which is absolutely the right thing to do. As soon as the ball's released, Edouard's got the run on him already. I mean, Edouard's absolutely flying into the middle of the box, and it's hard for him to get back. You know, shambolic defending from Hearts. A couple of different reasons for that. As I say, John Souter stepping out, but also, you know, Craig Halkett not being able to stop the pass from Kyogo, and then from there on in, it was simple. I don't think, see, when you're basically 3-on-1, I find it hard to blame the goalkeeper for that. I think blame can be pushed at Gordon later on in the game, 100%. But for that one, I mean, yes, if the ball goes to Odson Edouard unmarked in the 6-yard box, he's going to score it 9 times out of 10, probably 19 times out of 20. So I'm not sure you can blame Gordon too much for that, but definitely John Souter stepping out is really what killed us there, and none of the other defenders following him.
See, Barkas was in goals and he got his angles wrong, and we conceded a goal like that when Edouard made it 1-0. Celtic Twitter would have just been in a meltdown. I'm saying it from that perspective, that if it was, you know, I personally thought Gordon's angles were over the shot, but
you're coming from a Celtic fan angle where you have PTSD about how fucking rubbish your goalkeepers are, so I can understand that. But whereas Craig Gordon has been absolutely outstanding for the last year since coming back to Hearts, so I think maybe you've got a more keen eye for bad goalkeeping than I do, because we've been very fortunate with Mr. Craig Gordon.
If we can talk about the second goal now, Kyogo thinks really, really quickly, lays it off to Edouard, and it's a short corner, and there's two Hearts players that rush to closing down now. They two Hearts players, I believe it's Cochrane and Kingsley, and in the end they completely failed to stop Edwards' quick cross. Stephen Welsh bullets home a header, and it's 2-0, and the game is essentially done. But from a Celtic point of view, I'm looking at that and saying that's the sort of quick thinking we would never have seen any time last season. It was a joy to watch, and Kyogo is just miles ahead of the opposition again. But from a Hearts perspective, with that defending and you're raging at those, actually there's three players around Edward, really, and not one of them gets anywhere near him. Are you moaning at that, or are you just saying, do you know what, that's just what Celtic are going to do to even better teams than us?
No, I'm 100% moaning. You're absolutely right. Alex Cochrane, Stephen Kingsley, both try and shut down the short corner threat, but Benny Beringame is there as well. So there's actually three of them covering a short corner where there's two players involved. It's just mind-boggling, the lack of foresight. And Stephen Kingsley and Alex Cochrane are running alongside each other. Both of them are good headers of the ball. They're both defenders. Do you know what I mean? They should be in the middle trying to anticipate a ball into the box. And then as soon as Edwards given that time and space, Stephen Welsh, it's a really good run from him, but it's Craig Halkett that he gets up above. Halkett's not got a chance, man. He's, you know, Halkett's defending the space that he should be defending, but absolutely no one's there with Stephen Welsh marking that run, following him, doing anything to stop it. It's a really, really good header from Welsh as well, I have to say. Down into the ground, into the bottom corner. Great header. But it's so, I said it yesterday, just preventable. Like, both those first goals were, the first and second goal and the third goal are all, from a Hearts perspective, really preventable. And it was just, it was kind of typical of Hearts in that first half. They were 2, 3, 4, 5 yards off it at all times. Not just when on the ball, but when off the ball, trying to press and trying to make tackles and trying to stop crosses. They were just nowhere near it. And that was the best example of it was that goal.
Okay, here's a question for you. You're talking about how off at Hearts were, and that maybe comes down to the fact that Hearts generally aren't expected to press and get near Celtic, especially at Celtic Park. But do you think a lot of that's down to the fact that Hearts last season were playing in the Championship, maybe weren't as intense, and, you know, weren't they up against teams like Celtic week in, week out, where they weren't expected to do that? And it's all right to say that yes to that, right? Because I do remember in the cup final though, in the second half, as we remember, Robert, in the 3-3 game that we won in penalties, Hearts pressing and Harry does big time in that second half. So what's that all about then in terms of the fitness? Is it just a case of Hearts still to get up to speed with that level in the Premier League?
It's not even about fitness. You know, Robbie Nielsen's teams are always very, very fit. He puts them through double and triple training sessions sometimes to get them up to that fitness. It was a mindset thing at the weekend. We saw it in the second half at Tynecastle as well. Celtic, I mean, although they didn't really create that much in the way of chances in that game, they had all the possession and they were pushing Hearts back because they had the possession. The Hearts players were, you know, Andy Halliday said after that game, he was like, it's just a natural thing. When you're under pressure, you drop back 5 yards because you just think, right, defend the goal, defend the goal. But you can't do that at Celtic Park. It's a bigger pitch. It's a pitch that Celtic are used to, and obviously, since that game at Tynecastle, Celtic have improved immeasurably as well. But like you say, the blueprint's there for what Hearts can do to Celtic, and that is the cup final. Annoyingly, you know, Nielsen sort of came out and said, yeah, we went with similar tactics as we did in the cup final. It's like, right, but we were terrible in the first half of that cup final when we were 2-0 down at half time. You can see a bit of a trend coming here. Like, it's exactly what happened at the weekend as well. So, aye, it's massively frustrating, but I don't think it's a fitness thing. I think the players, you know, need to snap out of that. If they come under pressure against a Rangers or a Hibs or an Aberdeen, who are all teams that play on the front foot as well, you can't be sitting back that far on the pitch because teams will hurt you. Good teams will hurt you, and that's exactly what Celtic did. I think actually Celtic should have been completely out of sight when it came to half time because the chances were there. The space was there and Hearts were nowhere.
In the second half, Hearts did improve, and a lot of that was down to the fact that a podcaster who sometimes plays football, Andy Halliday, was taking off and Joshua Ginnelly came on. And what a difference he made.
He did it in the cup final as well. I don't know if you can remember, but he's that kind of player. He puts his opposite number on the back foot all the time. He just runs at them and runs at them, and he's got like real pace. You know, in Scottish Premiership standards, he's lightning. And that's what he did. You know, straight away, he pinned Starfelt, got round him. He tried to claim for a penalty. It was never a penalty. Starfelt's just sort of eased him off the ball. But that just kind of shows you exactly what Ginnelly's there to offer. He sort of had a really big role in Gary Mackay-Stevens' goal a couple of weeks ago against Celtic as well, doing exactly the same thing, getting past Starfelt and getting the ball into the middle. So he was an outball. You know, he's what we didn't have in the first half, someone that you can find down the channels, he'll hold on to the ball and create opportunities. Nielsen said after that he wasn't fit enough for 90 minutes because he'd had a bug through the week, he hadn't trained that much. It kind of makes me think, why didn't we play him for the opening 45 minutes? Do you know what I mean? Because that's when Celtic were absolutely battering us. Exactly. That's when we were getting battered. But I'm not a manager. I don't know what the thinking was or the chat was behind closed doors. But he came on and he made a huge difference, and that's what you can do. He wasn't good against St Mirren last weekend. I think that's maybe another reason why he didn't start the game. He couldn't get his foot on the ball. Nothing was coming off for him. But yeah, he's a player that on a big pitch like Celtic Park as well can make a huge difference because he's got the pace to do it.
And it was indeed his pace and the out ball that Hearts were missing that helped get Hearts back into the game, and Starfelt gave away a penalty where he hacked down Liam Boyce. Ridiculous decision for him. Really, really stupid one to give away, and Boyce makes it 2-1. But I know that when we were talking yesterday, you weren't impressed with Starfelt at all, were you?
I can only speak about what I've seen, Stevie, and I am not sure about this boy at all. Like, at Tynecastle, he was Bambi on ice. He looked really unsure any time the ball came to him. Any time that someone ran at him, people were getting past him. And you saw that again yesterday. The times that we actually ran at Starfelt, they got past him. And he makes rash decisions. Like, for the penalty, like I said, it's not a good ball in from Ginelli. It's not great. He's hit along the ground. There's not a huge amount of pace on it. And he's tried to take a first touch when in reality, all he has to do at that time of the game was at the 47th or 8th minute or whatever it was, just hoof it away. Do you know what I mean? You can start again. That's absolutely fine. But he's tried to take a touch. He has no idea whatsoever that Liam Boyce is behind him. And Boyce is just smart. Boyce gets the touch and Starfelt volleys him in the calf. And it's a stonewall penalty. But I'm not sure about him. I don't know if it's maybe if he needs a bit more experience beside him. A big boy beside him that can do the dirty work. Because he can play football. You've seen him step out and stuff like that. But I'm not convinced by him so far.
I'm still willing to give him time because, it's still only August and I do think that he will improve. I've seen this before when I remember the notable one would be Alan Stubbs, who came in and had some right howlers. You had a lot of Celtic fans saying, why did we spend near £4 million on this guy? Okay, don't get me wrong, it did take an extra season. But Starfelt, hopefully, Robert, from my point of view, develops an understanding with the rest of the defence. We've still got to bring in other defenders as well, which we've covered on this podcast umpteen times now in the last few weeks. But I'm hoping Starfelt can eventually settle because on the ball, he looks absolutely fine. But yeah, there was no need for him to have like 2 and 3 touches in yesterday. It was just a case of get out of the park, do the simple things. Stuff like that, when you're giving a goal away and Hearts, get back into the game. It just came out of nowhere and I couldn't actually see Hearts getting back in that at all. But we're going to get punished against far better teams more consistently if Starfelt doesn't cut stuff like that out. So I hope he learns from it. He's very early in his Celtic career to do that. So I'm not going to sit here and crucify him or anything. And we did get a bit of luck because I did say at the game yesterday that Hearts have got it in them to implode and do something stupid. And they did through Craig Gordon. Now, this is a bit that I'm going to love, Robert, because you are a Craig Gordon mark, whereas I don't hate him as much as a lot of other Celtic fans, but I definitely don't think this whole narrative of a few weeks ago that Celtic should never get rid of him, it's never going to wash with me. And that goal, when Kyogo scores to make it 3-1, is an example of why Craig Gordon, I think, was Celtic were right to let him go. What's your thoughts on this one? Because it is a howler from him, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's a absolutely horrific mistake. I think it's maybe lost in translation a wee bit what folk were saying a couple of weeks ago. I think that Craig Gordon is not the right goalkeeper for Celtic because Celtic play a certain way, which is playing out from the back and all that kind of stuff. That's why Rodgers and Neil Lennon obviously eventually sort of got him out of the starting lineup. But I think that the argument that was being made is that he's 10 times, 100 times better than Barkas and Bain. And I don't think that can be denied. I think he is 100 times better as a goalkeeper than both of them probably combined. This is a really annoying one because it comes from Gordon's poor clearance in the first place. He hits it on his weaker right foot and there's no Hearts player anywhere near. I think it's Edward that picks the ball up in the middle. And from there, Gordon just doesn't set himself because, again, it's a quick... you can't even call it a counter-attack because you're already in Hearts half, but Rogic gets the ball from Edward and then Kyogo, his movement is absolutely stunning, it's brilliant. He just waits for the Hearts backline to play him onside and then he bursts into action. It's a reasonable enough strike, but for me it's an own goal because I think it's going wide. If you watch it from the angle from the stand side, it looks like it's going to hit the post or go wide and it hits Craig Gordon the inside of his hand and he kind of palms it into the net. So it was just, you know, as I say, that's the first time that Craig Gordon's made a mistake for Hearts, probably since we played at Celtic Park in, what was that, 2006, 2007? He's never really made mistakes for Hearts. I know he made a few for Celtic, but he very, very rarely does it for Hearts. Obviously, he just saves it for Celtic Park.
Hearts would have been gubbed without him, because as much as he did make that mistake, I mean, he kept you right in the game as well, especially even after that, a 3-1 the saves he made from Edward and McGregor as well. Really, really good. And I think McGregor even at one point actually applauded the save he made from the shot he had in the right foot about 10 minutes to go. McGregor thought that was in. Gordon just got and scrambled out of nowhere to get that. And fair play in that respect, because without him yesterday, you would have been properly horsed.
Oh, no, 100%. Especially after that third goal went in, it was another onslaught for about 10, 15 minutes where it was just seemed to be cross after cross after corner. Every single time it was reaching a Celtic head in the middle of the box, and Craig Gordon was making the saves. And that's what he does. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but did Craig Gordon not win 12 trophies with Celtic?
Yes, he won a fair amount, yes.
Yeah, and Celtic fans don't like him. I mean, fair play.
When we conceded that second goal to Hearts yesterday, I think it was your sub Mackinough that scored. I mean, realistically, I probably shouldn't be sitting here moaning about it and just hold my hands up and say, fair play, it was a well-worked goal. But I felt there was a comedy of errors at the back for us, starting with Stephen Welsh, no cutting out the cross. Starfelt didn't get tight to Mackinough. And then even Joe Hart, the ball goes in and Joe Hart tries to use his legs to stop it. And it goes in at his near post. And it's such a weird goal, because it's like you're wondering how that actually... how it went in from that angle when Joe Hart had it fully covered. Now, I know that it didn't really mean a lot in the end, and even when you made it 3-2, Robert, you must have thought it was a consolation rather than you were going to get one sort of final onslaught against us.
Aye, 100%. The game was absolutely done, and you can kind of tell that by, you know, the way that Celtic lost the goal. The intensity was gone. It was well into the 91st minute by that stage, and there was only 2 minutes added on. From a Hearts perspective, it was fine. You know, we moved it from right to left. Obviously, there was a wee deflection on the cross, which meant it got to Mackinough. And I think it's maybe slightly unfair to blame Hart, because he's completely wrong-footed by it. Like, by the time the ball comes into the box, you know, Hart's getting across to cover the middle of his goals, and Mackinough's put it back in that corner past him. It's a really decent strike from Mackinough as well. But yeah, from a Celtic perspective, it's not a good goal to lose, because it was very simple in pretty much every aspect. It was pretty much what Celtic were doing to Hearts in the first half, whereby, you know, there was players being allowed time on the edge of the box to then find another player who had space, who could then get the ball into the box. And obviously Mackinough, it's what he can do. It's, you know, late runs into the box, and that's what he's done. He's timed it really well, and it's a nice strike, a nice finish. But listen, at that stage, the game was completely gone anyway. There was never a chance we were going to get more possession and get the ball up the park. So, it was all for nothing. It made the scoreline a lot more flattering than it should have been. But that means nothing in knockout football.
Joe Hart probably should be more in the middle of his goal. He's completely covering his right-hand post, and that's where it goes in. But, yeah, I'm not, again, just like Starfelt, I'm not going to sit and lambast Hart. We've went through, and this team will learn under the manager as well, especially when we bring in new defenders. If we bring in new defenders, I would have hoped we have got two in by now. But no, it looks like we're going to have the same back four for the AZ game. But anyway, we did go through 3-2-1 over Hearts. Gutted for you, Robert, but delighted for us. And thoughts as a Hearts fan on Celtic now, Robert? What's the main differences you have seen in this Celtic team compared to the Celtic team you saw in the cup final last season when we edged it? And of course, let's try and no mention a certain manager who is banned on this podcast as well.
See, for me, the main thing about the Celtic team is the movement and the way that the midfield, like, obviously we'll talk about the defence, I'm sure, but the way that the midfield and the attack knows where each other is. So you've got guys like David Turnbull and Tom Rogic who, you know, typically if you look at what Big Ange Ellos wants to do, is have sort of this high press and high intensity team. Turnbull and Rogic aren't really that type of player, but what they both offer is just conviction in their passing, good passing, chance creation, and, you know, they can both score goals themselves, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks. And then Kyogo's movement and his ability to sort of drop deep or drop wide if he wants to, but for me, playing off the last man, playing off the shoulder is where he's at his very best. And when you've got guys like James Forrest, Turnbull, Rogic, these guys who can pick a pass, and that is just a huge asset that will unpick every single defence in the league this season at some stage. big French Eddie. Again, just loves scoring against Hearts. So every time I've seen him, I've been impressed with him. I still think he's the best striker in Scotland. But for me, like, one of the biggest surprises, I suppose, almost, is Anthony Ralston and Greg Taylor, and the improvement in both of them as players, and the way that they are sort of thriving in the attacking formation that Postecoglou plays. Because, like, so often you see Anthony Ralston, like, running through on goal from, like, a number 10 position, or you've got Greg Taylor coming into centre mid playing, like, inverted fullback positions. And I think that the way that they've bought into that and the way that they've improved as players, it says a lot. Because, you know, Brendan Rodgers improved guys like Callum McGregor, Ryan Christie, James Forrest, improved all of them to being, you know, regular Scotland players, all that kind of stuff. The manager that came after Rodgers and before the current manager, he didn't seem to improve any player. In fact, if anything, Celtic went backwards. So it's nice to see that players are getting properly coached, and the players are picking up on that coaching and they're improving, because that's really what I've seen. The best examples of which are you know, Ralston and Taylor, but David Turnbull's an absolute superstar for me. I adore watching him play, and the fact he's got Tom Rogic playing as well is quite something. So listen, in the space of a couple of weeks since you came to Tynecastle and got beat, the improvement is incredible. And I think that was always going to happen when they're not just on the training pitch, but they're actually playing games and learning together in games. And you can see that, you know, quite rapidly the players are buying into it. However, that back line in a defensive sense still, if I was a Celtic fan, would make me shite myself most games.
Celtic play Hearts next at Celtic Park on the 1st of December 2021, and we're a few months away for that. So Robert, what sort of changes do you expect to see in a few months' time for that game, and will the transfer window for Hearts have any say in how that game goes? What do you think your transfer window is going to be like until it slams shut, as Sky Sports would say?
For me, we need another centre half. I like Stephen Kingsley a lot, but I think he's best served at left wing back. I think he is our best left wing back. So if we're going to stick with three at the back, which I think we should, then a left sided centre half in a bit of the John Souter mould, someone who can play football and step out, would be very nice. It looks like we're signing an Australian international, Cammy Devlin. He's another central midfielder, kind of similar to Beningame in some ways, so a lot of energy, tackling, tries to get forward when he can, but it's more about playing in a sort of midfield four, so both of them having a lot of energy, so he'll come in. And I'd like to see us sign another striker as well. I think we're going to be heavily reliant on Liam Boyce this season, and I think that if he gets an injury, then we could be in a lot of trouble. But generally speaking, I'm relatively happy with how Hearts are. You know, that's Hearts' first defeat since April, I think, and in competitive games. So I'm pretty happy with the way the team's going. But I think that, you know, when it comes to December, we'll see a few extra bodies in that Hearts team, a few different bodies in that Hearts team. And that game will be at Celtic Park, won't it?
It will.
Yeah, so I congratulate Celtic on their 4-1 win on the 1st of December 2021. Because if we're honest, it doesn't matter who Hearts sign or what they do, a game in Glasgow at Celtic Park is never going to end well for us.
Well, a game in Glasgow at Celtic Park is one you've not won since 2009. We were discussing that last night, weren't we? And it was a Michael Stewart penalty in the League Cup that seen you guys go through. So, Robert, what's been the best Hearts side since then that have failed to win at Celtic Park? Because I think in the 15-16 season, you did get a 0-0 draw when I believe you could have won. But Effie Ambrose was sent off in injury time for hauling down one of your players, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, that 2015-16 team was, obviously, that was under Robbie Nielsen as well. We went on to finish third that season. It was a good team, and it's one that went to Celtic Park with a lack of fear. I think it was quite an attacking lineup we put out that day. And, you know, even the season before that, I think we played just in the Cup, and Adam Eckersley scored an own goal, but we did play well. Oh, Osman So missed a penalty, that's right. We played well in that game as well, but I think the best team to go to Celtic Park and lose is probably under Jim Jeffries, which was just after the 2009 game that you're talking about. I think it was the season after, and that was the last time that Hearts were good on the road. So I think we won 9 away games that season, which is good for Hearts. And I think we ended up finishing third that season as well, and I'm pretty sure that is the year that Egert Jonsson missed the penalty.
No, that was the season after 11-12 when Fraser Forster made that save.
You're spot on. Yeah, that was 11-12. That was Paulo Sergio. But the year before that, when we had like Kevin Kyle, David Templeton, Suso, Ian Black, Darren Barr, Zalukas and Webster at the back, like, it was a properly good team, but one that one that played with belief when it went away for home. But obviously, once again, going to Celtic Park, it doesn't matter how much belief you play with. If you're wearing maroon, it's not going to end that well. So I think that's probably the best team that's gone on to lose there since 2009. But 2015-16 was a decent side as well. And I think if we'd played just there at the start of the season, we might have had a better chance because we did tail off a wee bit that year. But I'd say that's the best we've had since then. But I think our record since then is like, what was it, 17 losses and 2 draws or something. Pretty poor.
We're at the end of this wonderful podcast, and it's been anything but sad, even though Hearts didn't go through, and you've had to put up with me passive-aggressively gloating at you, Robert.
Well, I had to put up with you passive-aggressively gloating at me yesterday as well, alongside a bunch of other good strawberry pims. So it's been a good 24 hours, Stevie, and very cathartic.
So, Robert, for any of the Celtic fans listening that for some reason, if they've got brain damage, want to actually hear more about what a Hearts fan says on the internet, where can they find you and what you do?
Hey, listen, I'm a very level-headed Hearts fan, Stevie. I'm sure Celtic fans will love following me. I am at RF Borthwick on Twitter. That's it. I mean, if you want to follow our Scottish football podcast that has no bias whatsoever, it is at Terrace Podcast. And then the TV show that will be returning to your screens, hopefully, in the next month or so, is at The Terrace TV. Where, again, we take a irreverent sideways look at the game that we call football. That is from the BBC bio, by the way. None of us ever wrote that.
Robert, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Stevie. Cheers, mate.
Right, so this has been episode 60 of the Glasgow is Green podcast, aka Gig Pod. I'm Stevie. Thanks a lot for tuning in. The schedule this week is, as I'm a Real fan going to the game on Wednesday, Rizzo and Spunkphone will be covering the AZ Alkmaar match, for hopefully they're in joyous mood to talk about Celtic taking an excellent first leg result over to Holland with them. We know what Rizzo and Spunkphone can be like when they're in bad moods, such as whenever thought about Hearts beating us 2-1 a couple of weeks ago. Robert, don't say anything, please. So hopefully we're not going to get a repeat of that type of podcast again, and it will be a positive one, just like Celtic start to the season, eventually, belated as it is. So once more, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere to get your podcasts. Please rate and review. And again, a massive shout out to our sponsors, Swiss Movement, www.swissmovement.co, where if you use the code GIGPOD88, you get 10% off all watches there and free UK delivery as well. A massive thanks to the guys there. And thanks to you guys for tuning in. We'll see you very soon.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.